Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello, creepies. Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 40. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, boys?
Nothing too much.
Hanging.
Good.
Having a good night?
We are having a good night.
Staying healthy-ish. Most of us.
Yeah, hopefully, as I had to tell the listeners in the main episode, if my voice cracks, it's because I have a bad cold I've had since last Friday, so it's a hit and miss, as I call it. So
we told him to. This is a good time to work on impersonations.
Really?
Impressions. Voices. Yeah. What do you mean you do voices?
I was worried this morning because I didn't have a voice.
Yeah.
It was like I was trying to tell Elijah. He came in the kitchen and I was like, I couldn't talk. So I was trying to get his attention. I was like, snapping.
Yeah, right. And clapping. And
he's looking
nonverbal.
I go, Elijah. He's like, what is wrong with you? I said, just what do you want to eat? You know. He goes, I want 4 waffles. And He goes, I want some waffles. And I was like, how many? He was like, why?
Hold up your fingers.
How many? You know, yeah, seriously. He's like, he holds up 4. But so at least my voice is good enough to speak. It just doesn't sound good. It's a hit and miss. So
by the time next time we record, you'll have gotten through puberty. And then things will be, all will be right with the world again.
Well, yeah. I'm sure your voice is just like how you play golf in the rough.
Oh, there you go.
Nate, I have one thing to say. You are not wrong.
Our man Nate, man.
That is true. No, but we thank you guys for joining us, our creepies, as always, for another middle-aged mini.
Gracias.
Yeah. So, Mr. Sean, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to dive right into a great topic on Haunted Hollywood, and this is your pick, Todd.
Thank you. It's a town, a city that has a lot of history, obviously, and it's not just because of all the celebrities and all that, but they've got a lot of tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of whether it's hotels or a lot of graveyards.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know, but a lot of places. Yeah. So I thought, what the heck? Well,
people are dying to get in those.
They are. That's what my dad used to say.
Still a great joke.
Yeah. It my wife said her dad would say that. Yeah. Yeah, it's classic. But no. Yeah. So Haunted Hollywood. Yeah. I thought it might be a fun thing to talk about. So
ever since I was a kid, I've loved movies and I love the idea of Hollywood and I love old Hollywood. I love stuff that comes out now. So I'm very eclectic with my taste, but I like black and white movies too. And mm-hmm. so I do truly do love old Hollywood. And especially some of the monster movies, right? But our kids are just like anti anything that's not in color. You can forget it. And the little ones ask. Was there a time where there was no color in the world? You know, and it's like, I love that question. But there is. We are just
that's
that.
Cute.
We're that generation. It's like, duh, we know. But now generations to come don't realize. Yeah.
It reminds me of going to when I was a kid to the Noble Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And they play the Laurel and Hardy videos,
yeah.
You know, or the uh-huh. movies, and I thought that was awesome. So I've liked, since I was a kid, the black and white. Yeah,
I always liked Jerry Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Lewis and all, mm-hmm. oh, my gosh.
Three Stooges.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I've seen all mm-hmm. of those 20 times. Who I'm trying to think of the...
Mr. Ed.
The famous Mr. Ed.
World.
You know, the other day, a guy I used to work with, we go sometimes to his house on our lunch hour, and he loved Mr. Ed. And we were talking about the episode where Mr. Ed's looking through the binoculars at the neighbors because the neighbor was trying to, like, get back at Mr. Ed, and the guy was putting something in the apple. He's like, oh, the old... like the old blade in the apple tree or something like that. It's just... It makes me laugh. He goes, here's this horse holding up binoculars. Like, whoa, the old hidden apple tree. But yeah, black and white movie. That's funny that your kids thought, is that a
world without color, right?
Yeah. So
just like Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I am going to start, if you don't mind.
No, of course not.
Since this is my episode, and I'm not sure if my voice is going to last. Right? I've got a story here, and it's the Comedy Store. Now, I guess it's called Ciro's. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I hope I am. C-I-R-O. It says, the Sunset Strip has long been known as the playground of the stars. The brightest stars, the biggest moguls, and most Oscar-winning artists dined, danced, and romanced in clubs along the strip. The most popular rendezvous, Ciro's, opened in 1940. Today it is called the Comedy Store, world-famous laugh club. But late at night, the ghosts of Ciro's rule the roost. One night on his way out the back door, comedian slash security guard Blake Clark heard banging on the piano in the belly room, a small venue on the second floor. Some of the waitresses had already reported odd occurrences in there, pranks really. One of the young women would open the room, light candles, arrange tables, and leave. 5 minutes later, she'd return to find the candles out, the lights off, mm-hmm. and the door locked. When she returned with the key, she'd find the door open and the room set up again. Clark rushed upstairs when he heard the piano, thinking someone was locked in. As soon as he unlocked the door, the noise stopped. He flipped on the light. No one was in the room. He checked all the corners, then locked up. As he turned to leave, he heard it again, someone deliberately banging the keys of the piano. Clark heard the piano on numerous other occasions. There was never anyone to be seen in the room, just a playful spirit with a tin ear having a laugh. Another night, Blake made the final rounds in the large showroom, which had been Ciro's main room. He moved to lock up, but stopped in his tracks. A chair on one end of the stage began to slide across to the other side. He stood there's my voice. He stood frozen, watching as the chair glided effortlessly 3 feet, 10 feet, and 20. In a flash, he found his feet and got out of there. Still another night, he went to the rear of the empty stage to turn off a light. Seconds later, he turned around to find 40 chairs silently piled center stage 10 feet away. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I read that, and I was like, oh, I got to have that one. That's
one that,
very cool.
Joe Rogan has talked about that, too, and how haunted that place is with all and all the history of stuff. He said you can feel there's an energy to that place, you know, which is also great for comedians, but it's also very haunted.
And I've never heard that stories. Until
yeah.
Now. I mean,
I read that in all the Comedy Store. That's cool.
I mean, you know, Jim Carrey, all the main, you know, but I never knew that any history of any paranormal. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Yeah.
I had some from it's an article, it's several of them, Haunted Hollywood, Tinseltown's Most Disturbing Legends, Ghosts, and Spooky Sights. It's, the author of it is Chris Gill. I just want to give him credit for all this. The first one is kind of interesting. It is a bad sign. So the famous Hollywood sign in Griffith Park at the eastern edge of Hollywood Hills is said to be haunted by the ghost of a struggling young actress, Peg Entwistle, who committed suicide by leaping to her death from the top of the H in 1932, just before the release of 13 Women, which marked her only film role. Nighttime visitors to Griffith Park sometimes say they see visions of a woman in the 1930-era clothing roaming the trails around the sign or plummeting from the top, only to vanish before reaching the ground. Mm. I love hate that story. Yeah, right. So, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's a great novel.
I've heard that story not in a long time, but yeah, I remember that. What's your last name again? It's a different
I knew it's. Oh, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but Entwistle.
Entwistle, yeah.
Entwistle.
Yep.
If you say it fast enough, it's correct.
Entwistle.
Peg Entwistle.
That's a good story.
God bless her soul, right?
Yeah, it's sad, but what you got, Nate?
I got the Cecil Hotel.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Even without the allegations of supernatural, the Cecil Hotel in downtown L.A. has a rap sheet that could send chills down your spine. Opened as a luxury hotel in 1924, over the decades, the Cecil deteriorated into a flop house and eventually became home to not one, but two serial killers.
Oh.
Richard the Night Stalker Ramirez.
Yep.
And Jack Unterweger. I don't recall him.
He's from, I think, Sweden.
Oh, okay.
Germany, Sweden. Yeah, he's...
In the late 2000s, the Cecil was given a hip makeover and rebranded as Stay on Main in an effort to attract younger guests. One such guest, Canadian student Eliza Lamb.
Elisa.
Or Elisa
yep.
Lamb, was found dead in the hotel's rooftop water tank. Mm. We've heard stories about that before.
It's a creepy one.
Weeks after she disappeared while staying at the hotel, a spooky security camera video of her in the hotel elevator shortly before she disappeared continues to invite speculation.
That place is awesome. Netflix has a series on Cecil.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen
it? I have not seen it, but I saw that.
Amy and I watched it.
It's on my to-watch list.
Please do. It's excellent. And I knew all about that hotel, Annalisa mm-hmm. Lamb, because that's the one. She's the Asian girl from Canada who on video is shown where she gets on the elevator and she steps off and she's looking side to side.
Yeah.
And it's like, who's she looking for? And then, you know, that was like hours before she was found in the tank.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's pressing all. Yeah. And she had some mental issues. I mean, she had, she was on medication and this and that, but the whole place is, and it's
weird.
It was built in like the '20s or, you know, whatever.
1924.
So, yeah. So you have a lot of history. Yeah. Basically 100 years. And, it's real close to Skid Row.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a block or two from Skid. It's just, it's got all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And then you got Ramirez.
Sketch.
and the other guy you were, I've heard two or three stories on him, or I mean, podcast about him. He was a serial killer in Europe, and then he he moved to L.A. and continued.
Hmm.
And he was one where he got when he was arrested, and they did basically he fooled authorities. So after he was incarcerated and had all the different tests and this and that. They're like, yeah, he's good. He's reformed.
Uh-huh.
So they let him out and then he moved to LA and then continued it. So
it's
they had this guy.
Mm-hmm. yeah, truly.
He was he was a handsome guy. He dressed nice. He
charming.
He looked like a movie star.
Yeah.
And, he continued to kill some. Yeah. He stayed at the Cecil. Yeah. And of course we all know about the Night Stalker,
mm-hmm.
Richard Ramirez. That's another Netflix, show that they had on him. A little bit weird, but it's good. It's
future
good.
Episode for us too.
Yeah, yeah, right,
for sure.
Well, that was good. Yeah, that was a good choice, Nate. I have one here. Specifically, it's the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, which has a lot of history.
It's a very good one.
It says the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, located at 7000 Hollywood Boulevard, figures in many a ghost tale. The 12-story hotel opened on May 15th, 1927. So it's been around a while. It has been a center of Hollywood life since, including hosting the first Oscars in 1929.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Marilyn Monroe had a long association with the Roosevelt. She posed for her first print ad, a toothpaste spot on the diving board of the hotel pool. Ghostly guests have also been reported swimming in the pool. That is weird. You know, we've talked about all these stories.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see a ghost swimming in the pool?
Yeah.
I don't know if we've heard that one.
You know? I could see my ghost coming back totally.
Yeah, right.
I love to swim.
So it says, not surprisingly, the Roosevelt's Tropicana Pool, with the recently restored mural painted by artist David Hockney, is buzzy, in quotes, with spirit energy. Patty Negri, psychic medium to the stars. Okay. As Marilyn Monroe's career took off, she often stayed in the second floor cabana at the Roosevelt overlooking the pool.
Mm-hmm.
The hotel provided Marilyn a tall, dark, wood-framed full-length mirror, which after her death was moved to the manager's office. A hotel maid was dusting the mirror and saw the reflection of a sad-looking blonde woman. The maid turned to ask if she could help, but there was no one there. While the mirror is no longer in evidence at the Roosevelt, guests can stay at the Marilyn Monroe suite overlooking the pool, replete with vintage Ames furniture. Monroe is called the hardest working ghost in Hollywood, as her spirit has also been reported around her former home in Brentwood.
Mm-hmm.
We all know who was in Brentwood. She also supposedly mm-hmm. appears in mirror reflections at the carousel on Santa Monica Pier, where she went in disguise to watch families at play. You can also visit her final resting place at the Westwood Village Memorial Park. Hugh Hefner is her next crypt neighbor. There's one more. It says another famous Roosevelt guest was four-time Academy Award nominee Montgomery Clift.
Yep.
He's very active. Yeah. Clift stayed in room 928 for several months while preparing for his role
from here
as an army burglar. Jeez. Here goes my eyesight now.
Bugler.
Voice then, yeah. In my eyes, yeah. Army Bugler in the 1953 classic From Here to Eternity. Mm-hmm. Clift, considered one of the most talented actors of his generation, was a sensitive spirit who battled demons, including alcohol, drugs, a disfiguring car accident, and depression. Guests who stayed in room 928 report the brooding spirit of Montgomery Clift turning up the heat and switches on the radio to let guests know he's around and still angry about an unfulfilled life.
Yeah.
The mournful sounds of the method actor playing a bugle are said to echo down the hallway.
Yeah. He always makes me think of Marlon Brando, a couple of my friends, and James Dean. Those two are my favorite. And Montgomery Clift.
Right.
Those guys are all very, yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Truly awesome actors. I've got The House That Inspired Ghostbusters. So the former home of actor Dan Aykroyd on Woodrow Wilson Drive had also been home to a teenage Natalie Wood, also had tragic death with her, singer Mama Cass Elliott, and former Beatle Ringo Starr. The house was not especially known for disturbances until the former Saturday Night Live star moved into it in the early 1980s. It didn't take long for Aykroyd to conclude that the house was haunted. Something was turning on his stairmaster, playing the piano and slamming doors. Aykroyd says one night he even felt someone or something crawl into bed with him, and it wasn't his wife, actress Donna Dixon. He chalked it up to ghosts and believes at least one of them was the spirit of the home's former occupant, Elliot, of the folk pop group The Mamas and the Papas, who died of heart failure in 1974 at the age of 32. Instead of being unsettled by the paranormal activity, Aykroyd, who later moved out and sold the house, was inspired by it. The supernatural vibes gave him the idea to co-write with Harold Ramis, which we've already covered, the hit 1984 movie comedy A Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
He talked about that on the Joe Rogan podcast too. I gotta say Rogan as many times as I can, right? Mm-hmm. He talked
needs a shout out all the time because his downloads are
the time. They're slipping a little bit
to 2 billion.
It's bazillion, yeah.
Yeah.
But he talked about that, the ghost being in the bed with him, and he was just I just kind of snuggled into it, you know, like. And
what do you do?
He said he got I believe he reported. Slept one of the best nights of my life, you know?
That's hilarious.
Ghost sleep.
And he's a great storyteller.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then, I'm sorry, I didn't really... It says, I'm sure it's Mama Cass, the actor said in a 2003 interview. What made him so certain? Some of the disturbances were so large and noisy, Aykroyd noted. You get the feeling it's a big ghost. I forgot that part.
I like that. Cool. That was very cool.
I got a Colorado Street Bridge.
Oh, I've never heard that one.
Pasadena's Colorado Street Bridge was the highest concrete bridge in the world when it was completed in 1913.
Ooh.
Not long afterward, it began to acquire a sinister reputation as Suicide Bridge. Mm. The Suicide Bridge lives up to its name. A bunch of people died on it, and lots of sensitives report having the urge to drive off of it randomly.
Really?
It just looks creepy, especially in the early morning hours with the lights lit. The first known suicide at the bridge occurred in 1919, and but I can't talk either now.
It's spreading.
It's spreading for sure.
Join the crowd.
Estimations put the number of people who've ended their lives by leaping from the grandly arched Bow Arts construction at over 100.
Man.
Even the website of the National Park Service states that a number of spirits are said to wander the bridge, as well as the Arroyo below. I've never heard of that. Arroyo.
Arroyo.
Arroyo, I guess. There's, yeah.
Oh. The only reason I think it's Arroyo is because there used to be a Red Sox pitcher named Arroyo.
There you go.
That's how he spells his last name. Yeah.
Verified.
Why can't you just put creepy. like a gorge or river or rock bed. I've never seen that.
Make it easy, right? only for you, Nate.
I know. I always get the goofy words.
So the car, they said that they get the urge to drive off of.
That's wild.
That wouldn't be good.
No bueno.
No.
I wonder what, I'm thinking about that. Like, I've never had that. So, like, if you really honestly had the urge to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, sometimes I'm like, man,
that would be great right now.
Yeah.
Driving off this bridge.
I'm not doing anything other than driving. I might as well. Yeah.
I think I can get to that barrier wall.
No problem.
This is a V8. Four-wheel drive. It'll go through that.
Surely will. Why am I talking like this? You know why? Because my throat hurts.
It's all easier, right. Isn't it?
I'll add the toll up to 101.
So what was that again? The Colorado Bridge?
Colorado Street Bridge.
Okay.
Pasadena.
Never heard that, but now I have. I've got the Hollywood Reporter / LA Weekly offices.
Mm.
In 1936, William Billy Wilkerson created a beautiful office for his newspaper, The Hollywood Reporter, on Sunset Boulevard. The Reporter is where Wilkerson put his blood and sweat, where his heart was, and where it remains. Though he died in 1962, a remodeling of his former offices seemed to have the maestro editor pacing the halls again. The Reporter the Reporter moved to larger quarters in 1992. The following year, another paper, the LA Weekly, took over the space. But before they moved in, construction worker Jerry Brake worked on the building's seismic upgrading. Everything was demolished, say Wilkerson's office upstairs. During the construction, Brake was often in the building alone. On occasion, at his desk, he caught a movement out of the corner of his eye, a flash of someone passing his door. Most of the time, he dismissed it as some trick of light. Then, late one night, when Brake was alone in the office, he distinctly felt somebody tapping him on the back. He jerked around, but nothing was there. He stepped out of his office, took a look down the hall, nothing. He walked past a room to the left of his office and saw a figure in the corner. He looked past it to a mirror that stood in front of them both, but Brake saw only one reflection, his own. That's creepy. He looked back at the figure, and then it was gone. A few days later, at 5:30 a.m., Brake was alone when he heard a noise and followed it to the length of the front hall down the stairs. I'm sorry, toward the stairs. He clearly heard footsteps walking in front of him the whole way. Brake ran after the footsteps. As he came around the corner, he could almost see a figure, but the lighting was bad. He checked the whole building. He was alone. As the remodeling progressed, even the grand staircase was removed, leaving an elevator as the only access to the second floor. Late one night, architect Ted Powell was in Wilkerson's office with a woman from the LA Weekly alone. LA Weekly, alone in the building, the pair heard what sounded like a broom handle on the ceiling directly under them. Boom, boom, boom. No easy feat, as the ceiling was 9 feet high.
Wow.
They took the elevator down, but found no one. Just as they were satisfied that it was nothing, they heard footsteps above them in Wilkerson's office. They left immediately.
Wow.
So, there you go.
Spooky.
A little spooky, yeah.
I've got a haunted hotel, and it is the most modern, in quotes, ghost can be found at the Chateau Marmont, the all-star hotel located above the Sunset Strip. That's where it's said that the afterlife party never ends, with the spirits of former guests such as comedian John Belushi.
Slimer.
Yeah. Right. We covered that, right? Doors singer Jim Morrison, covered him just recently. And Led Zeppelin drummer John Bonham still hanging around. Belushi was 33 when he died of a drug overdose in a bungalow in 1982. Morrison and Bonham didn't expire at the Marmont, but they could have. Bonham once rode a motorcycle through the hotel's hallway and lobby, and Morrison, out of his mind on drugs, nearly died when he fell from the roof of his bungalow after dangling from a gutter.
Oh, what is he, Clark Griswold?
Exactly right.
Clark!
Right.
So, yeah. So they're still hanging around, having an eternal afterlife party.
I guess so.
That sounds awesome. I'd say I'd like to be invited, but I don't think I want to be invited. Not to that one.
If anybody's going to be still partying, that'd be them, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
I have a story about the Queen Mary.
Ah, excellent.
A former ocean liner and World War II troop ship, the Queen Mary has been moored in Long Beach since it was decommissioned in 1967. A little dyslexia. Almost said 76. Although currently closed, it has long been a tourist attraction and historic hotel, willfully embracing its reputation as the most haunted hotel in America. It even made Time Magazine's 10 Most Haunted Places. Hmm. We need to go see this place.
Sean.
I'm writing it down. List. Yeah, I got it right now.
For being so high profile, it's still got to be the most haunted spot in Southern California. My aunt, this author of this little article, her aunt was staying there at a wedding and saw two old people sitting on her bed. A former colleague filmed a special there, and some of the crew quit because it was so scary. Ghosts sighted aboard the ship include a lady in white, a sailor who died in the ship's engine room, and children who drowned in the ship's pool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's definitely a place we got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Queen Mary.
On the list. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Only bad thing is it's closed.
Well, that's not good.
Just right now? Or it's closed for good, right?
I don't know. It just says
it's just closed.
Currently closed.
Oh, okay. Can't go right now.
No, they do. They do tours all the time. Sophia Temporelli, who was just on Hillbilly Horror Stories, and we're going to have her on
Shout
our show.
Shout out, right? Yeah.
She lives close to the. She's been there a lot of times. So.
Yeah, I figured they'd.
So she can verify that it does. It does become open at times.
It's a very popular. Yeah, a lot of places or a lot of investigators go there. Yeah, I like to go there. I have my story, but I lost it. So
dear.
Give me 1 second here.
Sort of like middle-aged thoughts.
That's exactly right.
Deep thoughts.
With Todd Hedges.
I was going to say something, but...
I always love that.
I forget.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Now, here is the Grauman's Chinese Theater.
There we go. Good that we're including that.
Mm-hmm. For his last of four theaters, Sid Grauman planned something so unique and magnificent inside and out that it would outshine all other theaters in Los Angeles. He and architect Raymond Kennedy chose a Chinese temple as inspiration and created a soaring 90-foot pagoda adorned with a 30-foot dragon and ceremonial masks and topped with an ornate copper roof. But it is the forefront that makes this the most famous movie theater in the world. That's where Grauman displayed his most ingenious idea, concrete blocks with the hand and footprints of the stars. Grauman also built salons for private parties after a premiere or the Oscars where he and his famous friends could celebrate comfortably. He hid buzzers near lamps in the lobby to signal people inside to open the secret panel. Sadly, these rooms have long been sealed and all buzzers disconnected. But for some reason, that doesn't matter. For weeks, an employee heard buzzers in the upstairs office. He thought it was an errant office intercom. Eventually, he realized it was the buzzers for the secret salons coming from inside the sealed rooms. And the theater has a resident ghost, Fritz. Fritz, it seems, worked for the theater, though no one's sure when. Apparently despondent, he hanged himself inside behind the movie screen. Since then, his presence has been felt throughout the theater. Everybody knows him, and no one is frightened. Poor Fritz.
So he went on the Fritz. I was going to say, putting on the Fritz, but that's not. Which way do I go? I'll go both
roads. Putting on the Fritz.
I'll follow both roads.
So there you go. Grauman Chinese Theater.
I've got a couple more that I want to share. I know we're probably getting down to the end here. But this one's Magic Man. The master magician and escape artist, Harry Houdini, vowed to his wife, Bess, before he died on Halloween in 1926, that he would try to contact her from beyond the grave. That was apparently never successful, but strange things have been happening for decades near the Laurel Canyon site. What are you doing over there? You sending me...
He is Donkey Kong.
that was
sorry, Nate.
I'm starting over. No, I'm not starting over. So, I'm sorry. That was apparently never successful, but strange things have been happening for decades near the Laurel Canyon site where the couple lived. A recording studio called The Mansion, owned by producer Rick Rubin, is on the property today, and various musicians have reported weird sights and odd occurrences. There are definitely ghosts in the house, said Red Hot Chili Peppers guitarist John Frusciante, but they're friendly. At times, dating back to the 1970s, people have reported seeing an apparition of a man wandering the grounds. Could it be Houdini trying to fulfill his promise to Bess? Question mark.
I like that.
I love Houdini, by the way.
Who? Houdini.
Who let the Houdini out?
Yeah. you got one, Nate?
I do not.
Well, I'm going to wrap it up then with this one. This is a short one. This is the silent movie theater.
You can't hear it. Silent.
This is
so here we go.
We're going to end this with silence.
That's
sound
it.
Of silence.
Did you hear that? All right. Yeah, because my voice is shot. The silent movie theater is said to be haunted by the ghosts of its first two owners. John Hampton opened the theater in 1942, and he dedicated his life to preserving silent films, using toxic chemicals that eventually gave him cancer. Lawrence Austin reopened the theater after Hampton's death in the early 90s. In 1997, he was fatally shot in the lobby in a plot connected by his lover/projectionist. Hampton is said to haunt the upstairs lounge while Austin covers the lobby.
Ooh. Now, when he reopened it in the 90s, was that a silent opening?
Oh, Nate.
Perhaps. Perhaps see, perhaps no.
I don't know. Nobody could hear. No, I don't. I mean, I don't know.
I did want, before we end up here, I'm not going to share another story, but some honorable mentions of wonderful stories out there. Go look some of these up.
Sure.
But they have ghost apparitions seen in different places. Charlie Chaplin's one. We got a shout out to Charlie Chaplin. Jimmy Stewart is seen wandering around.
Jimmy Stewart.
Clark, exactly. Clark Gable.
Who?
I'm waiting for your Clark Gable. No, I'm kidding.
No, I don't do it.
Orson Welles. Wonderful, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is definitely, there's some wonderful spots where he's at. James Dean was one I know we did mention. And the last one was Sam Kinison. So there are some good stories out there about him. So.
Sam Kinison.
Oh.
What? Yeah. I'm not going to drop.
Your voice will be gone. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I did it. He was
funny. Yes, Hollywood was a place that we escaped to, right? And we still continue to do so. But it is interesting how a lot of those entertainers are still there with all their tragedy, happiness, sadness, fear. You know, all those kind of emotions are stuck there in Hollywood.
Yeah. And you got all the actors and celebrities that are, you know, buried at a Hollywood cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of investigators that'll go to certain, you know, I'm trying to think of some of the actors, and but they'll talk to the headstone. And
yeah.
They
right.
They get
communications and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, or so apparitions. So.
But these people, the men and women and famous people, actors, singers, comedians, you know, they spent some of their best times there and some of their worst times there. So you can imagine that's why they want to stick around.
That's exactly right.
So, and scare the crap out of you.
There you go. Nate, what do you think?
And cut. That's a wrap.
That's good.
That was good.
I thought he was going to say hip, hip, hooray for Hollywood.
He will not.
Sorry. No, he shouldn't.
I'm just glad that it's over so I can not have to talk anymore.
Rest.
We want to thank you, Creepies, as always, for listening to our middle-aged mini number 40 discussing haunted Hollywood. And we will talk to you later.
Bye.
See you.